I wonder what you think about when you hear the story of Noah's Ark. I wonder if you see an image of precious moments style animals climbing into a comically small wooden boat. I wonder if a song bubbles up from the dregs of your memory, perhaps something that repeatedly uses the phrase, "Arky, arky." I wonder what you come to with this story. Noah's Ark is a story from our prehistoric spiritual past that ignites the imagination. It is one of those stories that frequents children's church and vacation Bible school. And maybe that's because children love to care for animals, or because it is the story of a heroic, larger-than-life act of devotion, or because it is the story of how God clung to a messy world through a scrappy guy in a boat. But returning to Noah now, as an adult in 2018, to me it seems not so much like a tale from our primordial spiritual heritage, but something that sounds a little bit more like a prophecy or a story about our future. As Florence has flooded the Carolinas, after Harvey sank Houston, after Katrina exposed not only our ignorance and denial, but also our communal capacity to leave each other behind, after all of these things, to me, this story takes on a new kind of significance. The flood seems like a very real existential threat to all flesh in the here and now. Our seas are rising. Our climate is changing. The storms are stronger, the fires greater, the extremes more extreme. Noah's story seems to reach right out from the ancient mind of God and tug us on the ear and say, "Are you listening?" Our planet is speaking to us, and through the planet, we might hear the word of God. But if you are anything like me, that word may leave you feeling like a deer in the headlights. Climate change is something that feels absolutely insurmountable. The dire predictions, the videos of glaciers calving at enormous rates, the very real weather changes that we have experienced just this week, these are frightening and paralyzing things. And sometimes I catch myself wondering, well, if it really is this bad, maybe I should just enjoy the world while I've got it. So if you are in any way prone to despair, I think Noah's story has both good news and a toolkit for us. First of all, this is a testimony of God's love for the creation. And it might not sound that way at first, but stick with me for a second. God's love grows and changes over the course of this story. In the beginning of the story, God is grieving because things aren't right. God isn't mad. God is mourning. And at first, he's just going to wipe it all clean. But Noah stands out somehow. And for some reason, we don't know exactly why, God enters into a relationship with Noah. And through that relationship, God's plans change. Noah's story is the first in a long line of deepening covenants of love and discovery and relationship and wonder. God's behavior then was to err on the side of relationship and love and holding on. And I can be sure that God's behavior now is just the same. God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants us to be partners in the work of caring for creation. God does not want a total do-over. but a transformation that will bring about a changed creation. And God is going to enter into relationship with us in order to make that happen. In the end, God promises to stick with us even though we are never going to get this right. And the image of God in this story teaches us that we are not abandoned in the midst of this crisis. God wants the world to survive. God wants the creation to thrive. And God will tell us what to do. But when God tells us what to do, we have got to do what Noah does and actually listen. When God tells Noah that the actions of the people of the earth will produce a cataclysmic result, Noah does not deny that, he does not ignore that, and he does not panic. Noah listens to God, and then he gets to work. And our work might not look like cypress wood or measuring things by cubit, but it probably looks like an expensive, absurd, and deeply important investment in a new way of life. And those investments are being made right now. There are a few projects out there that I find very exciting. Hybrid and electric cars are all over the market now. The New York Times reported that transportation is the single biggest contribution that the average American makes to climate change. So just reducing driving can help, but we now have so much better access to better cars. Second, there are all these new ways to eat meat and cheese without actually eating meat and dairy. And some of them are pretty good. Plant-based protein is developing rapidly, and it is getting more and more to taste like actual real meat. And reducing meat consumption reduces methane emissions and water consumption and the amount of food that goes to raise livestock. It is a much more sustainable way of life. Third, entire cities, like Minneapolis, are making composting a part of regular sanitation services. Composting reduces waste and methane released in landfills and produces quality fertilizer for local gardens. Cities are becoming hubs for innovation in transportation and sanitation and energy and even growing food. And this doesn't mean that we've sorted this all out. But it changes like these give me hope, because all these projects were once like the Ark, expensive, absurd, and the payoff was quite unclear. Investors in things like plant-based proteins and bike lanes and electric cars and renewable energy all took a leap of faith, just like Noah did when he cut those first trees. But there is one way that I believe that we as the Christian community have a very important contribution to make to this conversation about climate change. As Christians, we witness to a new cosmology. We witness to a universe that has God's love at the center, not our own consumption, not our own existence, not our own experience. We believe that we were not put on this earth to consume until we die, that we were not just here to get what's ours. We were put here to love and be loved, to be in relationship, and to care for the creation. And the earth is one of our neighbors. The land we live on, the food we eat, the water we drink, all of it is a beloved piece of the creation that God wishes to thrive. And most importantly, we witness to a universe that is oriented towards hope, towards new life, and towards resurrection. Wherever there is death, God is showing up to do something new. Wherever there is wickedness, God is clinging to some hope of thread that is still left and weaving something that we can't even guess at. And the world needs us to show up with that same trust and faith that Noah had. To live as Noah lived is to trust that though the odds seem insurmountable and the predictions seem dire, and that we are just one person, that with God's help and in community, each one of us can accomplish so much more than we can ask or imagine. To live as Noah lived is to trust that what we can do is truly and actually useful, that what we can undertake is expensive and absurd and deeply important, but it is an investment in a new way of life. Because ultimately, it is God that will show up to put all of this together. Each one of us has a small and seemingly useless thing to contribute. But in God's imagination, it becomes everything. It becomes exactly what is needed. Amen.